Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Beneath an Ivy Moon by Ellen Dugan. Narrated by Rachel DeLude. Creeping where no life is seen, a rare old plant is the ivy green. Charles Dickens. Chapter 1. I was minding my own business in the university library when I got my first inkling that something was wrong. As a rush of sensation rolled over me, my belly tightened. I sat up straight in my chair, all my spidey senses on alert. It was nothing I could physically see, hear, or touch with my own two hands, but I felt it in my gut nonetheless. A foreboding feeling that pushed me to move, to do something, to scan my own surroundings for danger, and to check on my family and friends. Something was coming, and everything would change. As the premonition rolled over me, I shivered, tugging my short, black jacket closer around me. Waiting to see if I got a hit in my solar plexus, I silently ran down a mental list of the names of my nearest and dearest. Great Aunt Faye, Bran, Lexi, Morgan, Autumn, Renee, Marie, Cypress, Holly. I was searching for a sort of energetic tweak, as my cousin Autumn called it. Something that would let me know where to pinpoint my focus. And there it was. Holly. I got the energetic hit on my absent twin sister. I sighed, pushed my laptop away from me, and sat back to think. Things had been pretty quiet, magically speaking, in Williamsford, ever since the big magical showdown between the Drake family and mine. The crazy, evil practitioner who had caused so many problems was dead and buried, and the Blood Moon Grimoire was safely under the protection of the Proctor family, Lexi's family. I was starting my junior year at university, and Cypress Russo and I were still roommates and still witchy BFFs. So my life as a college student was pretty good, but I'd be lying if I said there wasn't a big emotional vacancy in my world. And her name was Holly. My twin sister Holly had moved away, choosing to go to a college clear across the state. Besides the occasional text, email, or phone call that I always instigated, I rarely heard from her. Losing our mother during the quest for the grimoire had been horrible. I missed her actively every day. For a long time, I didn't think anything would ever be worse than losing my mom. But circumstances had proven me wrong because having my sister, my twin, shut me out, made me feel like a part of me was physically missing. Holly had been my other magical half. We had practiced together since we were little, our spells working together in a sort of two-part harmony, I suppose. Having that part of my life taken away left me floundering. Not that she cared. I will never understand Holly's choice to turn away from the craft. And I couldn't even imagine how she made it through every day without the support of the family. I hoped she was happy in her new life, pretending to be a mundane, while she studied art history at her college in Kansas City, while I struggled to go forward on my own. Magic aside, I honestly missed seeing and talking to her every day. However, there were other ways, magical ways, of keeping in touch with my fraternal twin. And as of yet, she hadn't been able to block me out. I checked around, making sure that I was unobserved in the little glass-walled study room I had rented. All I saw was my own reflection against the glass walls. I lifted a hand to my shorter hair. Yeah, the cut had been a good choice. The subtle touch of a few caramel highlights stood out against my brown hair, and it drew attention to my new stacked bob. It was a fun and kicky haircut, just brushing my shoulders, and I was happy with it. Sometimes I missed the crazy purple and blue I used to dye my hair back in the day, but I did not miss the fried, damaged ends. Now my hair was healthy and shiny, and the natural brown suited me better. Plus, it helped to make my green eyes more noticeable. I dropped my hand, smirking at myself for primping. I checked again to see if anyone was paying attention to me. No one was, and the coast was clear. I propped my feet up on the desk, smoothing my short black dress, with white skulls all over it, down over my thighs. "Don't want to accidentally flash the campus boys, Ivy," I reminded myself. I tipped back in my chair, shut my eyes, and reached out energetically to my twin. I found the psychic bond we still shared and visualized that unbreakable energetic silver cord that connected me to her. I gave it a good hard yank on the astral plane. Ha! That would get her attention. Holly, what's up, sis? I called out to her on the astral. I felt an answering tug at my solar plexus. I'm studying, Ivy, I'm fine, came Holly's annoyed reply. Mentally, I rolled my eyes and let my sister feel that. Why do I not believe you? Because you like to create drama where there is none? Hey, I sent back, a little hurt at the dismissive comment. I had a premonition and it felt like something was wrong. I was worried about you. Don't be, I'm happy here. How would I know? I asked. I didn't even see you this summer. What with you staying with Dad? And what the hell did you do on a farm in Iowa all summer? Gather eggs? Sew a quilt? I did gather some eggs, now that you mention it. It seemed that Holly was chuckling. But I do have to get back to my studies. Gotta go now. I felt the link lessening between the two of us as Holly tried to dissolve our psychic communication. Before I lost her, I sent out, I miss you. Love you, Holly. Her response came back. Love you too, Ivy. Stay out of trouble. After a moment's pause, she added, be safe. Then there was nothing else. Our psychic communication over, I opened my eyes and dropped my booted feet to the floor, setting the chair back on all four legs. Taking in a deep, steadying breath, I held it for a four count, blew it out slowly, and reconnected my energy to the earth. I'd expected to feel better after checking in with my twin, but if anything, a stronger feeling of unease rolled over me. Concerned, I gathered up my things for the walk back across campus to my dorm. As I left the cool of the air-conditioned library, I understood that whatever it was coming from somewhere within the campus itself. I moved over to the edge of the sidewalk, squinting my eyes to use my peripheral vision to see. There. I intuitively shifted towards the west. It was coming from that direction. It was gaining strength and rising. I felt my heart skip a beat, then beat faster in reaction to the discovery. I took a deep breath, blew it out slowly, and visualized that I was, once again, firmly connected to the earth. I looked over my shoulder to regard the library. It made sense that the energy had been muffled while I'd been inside. Almost as if whatever was out there had been energetically barred from the library, which would be my brother Brand's doing. He'd keep the university library locked down good and tight with his magic. After all, he worked there full-time. But still, I wondered about Holly's closing message. Why would Holly have told me to be safe? Well, I could damn sure find out. I may be a college student, but there was more to me than most folks realized. I am Ivy Bishop, the gothic fabulous and youngest female witch of my generation. As the sun set, I walked quickly back to my dorm. But instead of enjoying a pretty late August afternoon, all of my physical and witchy senses were on full alert. A chill slid down my back despite the warmth of the evening. The feeling of wrongness seemed to tease the edge of my awareness. I glanced over my shoulder and saw nothing. But I knew it was there, waiting and gathering strength. Obviously, the time of peace and quiet that Williams Ford had been blessed with was over. I let myself in the dorm room that I shared with Cypress Russo and found her exactly where I expected. Her dark, thick hair was pulled back into a low ponytail, away from her pretty face. Cypress pounded away at the computer keys, her head bouncing in time to the music she was listening to. She wore ripped jeans, a university t-shirt in purple and gray, and silver noise-canceling headphones. Even in a jeans and t-shirt, Cypress was stunning. If she wasn't my closest friend, I'd probably be resentful. Her skin was a striking tawny color, thanks to the ethnic diversity of her ancestors. To her amusement, people often assumed she was biracial, Hispanic, or possibly Native American. As Cypress often remarked, technically, They were all correct. She was Creole. And whatever her genetic background, it was a gorgeous mixture. To get her attention, I concentrated on her open water bottle sitting next to her. I tapped into my telekinesis and made the bottle slide over to hover at the edge of the desk. Cypress jolted as the bottle came into her line of sight. She laughed. Ivy! I set my laptop down on my desk and waved at her. Hey there, Cy. She tugged her headphones off and pointed at the bottle. You're not going to make that spill on me, are you? I focused again, and the bottle slid back to where it started from. Cypress stood, capped the bottle, and stretched. Want to go grab some supper at the Commons? I'm not in the mood for cafeteria food. I peeled off my jacket, laid it over my desk chair, and tossed my books towards my bed. We could always drop by the manor and mooch a free meal. Cypress's eyes, a unique smoky gray color, shot through with amber, sparkled. I like that idea even better. She shut down her laptop. Do you need to call ahead and let them know we are coming? Hang on, I'll let Aunt Faye know. I focused my mind on my great aunt, and I knew. I had the impression of her lifting her head, nodding, and pulling out more plates and silverware. I blinked, then smiled at Cypress. We're good. Cypress hopped up and grabbed her purse. Let's go then. We locked our door and headed down the steps and towards the main lobby of the building. Our dorm, Crowley Hall, had been redecorated several years ago, but the building itself dated back to 1857. The columned, brick, three-story dormitory was the oldest building on campus. It boasted three cozy floors of dorm rooms for women. It was the smallest of all the dorms, and oddly enough, it was never full. While Crowley Hall maintained its historical charm and was centrally located on campus, it was also rumored to be haunted, hence the lack of volunteers to actually live in the dorm. We jogged down the steps to the lobby and stopped for a moment while Cypress went through her routine of hunting for her car keys inside of her voluminous purse. A murmur of conversations came from the scattering of residents hanging out or studying in the lounge. I noted that the resident advisor, Leanne, was giving a lecture on the history of the building to a half-dozen new residents. Before it was a university, Leanne said, gesturing to the portrait centered above the fireplace mantel, Victoria Crowley was the creator of what was originally a finishing school for young ladies. In the 1850s, her school became a college for women, the first west of the Mississippi River. Today, Williams Ford is a full university with undergrad, master's, and doctorate programs. Leanne paused and measured her audience. But it all began here with this one woman in this very building and her dream of creating a school for girls almost 200 years ago. Leanne continued with the history and architecture of Crowley Hall itself. I tried to see the lounge through the eyes of our newest residents. Someone, probably a frustrated interior design student, had tried to redecorate our lounge in a pseudo-Victorian era style, and the current results were hit and miss. A faux leather settee faced the fireplace. On either end of the mantel, huge, fussy silk arrangements of flowers were arranged in white ceramic vases. Fancy chairs of dark wood, with their seats covered in burgundy velour fabric, were arranged around a large, carved wooden table. The wine-red area rug was centered over floors stained in a deep dark brown. The room seemed out of time and, in my opinion, too prim and proper. My gaze was pulled to the old portrait. Victoria Crowley smiled down on the residents of the hall. To me, the dark-eyed brunette looked like she was forever keeping a secret. Maybe I was supernaturally suspicious, but despite the woman's admirable history, I still didn't like her expression. It creeped me out. Tell them about the ghost, Leanne, I suggested, grinning when Leanne scowled at me, and the new residents all gasped in unison. A ghost? One girl piped up. Really? Someone else said. Leanne attempted to calm her group. According to local legend, it is Victoria's ghost that is rumored to guard over the hall. There are dozens of stories from the ridiculous to the disturbing about her ghostly visitations over the years. It's campus legend and nothing more, she stated firmly. I shrugged off Leanne's disapproval. Personally, I felt the tales of a haunting at my dorm only added to the atmosphere, but sometimes I wondered if Sai's unique blend of witchy hoodoo combined with my magic kept Victoria's ghost at bay. So far, neither Cypress nor I had seen anything, but we both had heard noises at night coming from the attic above our room, a constantly locked, empty attic. Studying the portrait, I shrugged and told myself not to look for trouble where there was none. Truth be told, ghosts didn't scare me. I'd seen and interacted with my grandmother's ghost back at the family manor. Ghosts I could handle. While Cypress continued to search for her car keys, I noticed one of the new residents gazing up at the glass-encased painting. As I watched, she took out her cell phone and snapped a picture of the old faded portrait. I nudged Cypress. "Check that out," I said, tilting my head towards the new resident. I was pretty sure her name was Jessica, and she changed angles and took another photo. She'd never get a decent photo with a cell phone camera. She has to compensate for the glare of the glass and the lighting in the room. I grinned at my photography geek's inner monologue. Cypress shook her purse. She scowled when she heard her keys jingle. "I swear my keys are always disappearing in this thing." "Try the outside pocket," I suggested, staring again at that portrait. The house phone began to ring. Since I was the closest to the desk in the foyer, I grabbed the landline. "Crowley Hall Hen House, which chick would you like to speak to?" "Ivy!" Leanne glared at me. "Hang on," I said to the person on the phone. I grinned at Leanne. "It's for you." Leanne scowled. "How many times do I have to tell you not to answer the phone like that?" "Oh, at least a dozen more," I said, as she stomped over and snatched the receiver away from me. The girls from the group were all smiling now as they waited in the foyer. "Welcome to Crowley Hall," I said formally, and sketched a bow. Cypress finally found her keys, right where I told her to look, in the outside pocket. "Ha-ha!" she cried. "You're welcome," I said to Cypress, watching Jessica as she kept trying to get a good picture. My gaze shifted from Jessica, then back to the portrait. I shivered. Cypress finally pulled her keys out of her purse and tugged me along with her out the front doors. We walked out across the columned porch, down the steps, and to the nearby parking lot. "So, I was wondering, have you felt anything unusual on campus lately?" I asked, climbing into Cypress's silver VW Beetle. "Define unusual," Cypress started the car. "We live in the haunted dorm, and we're both witches." "Point taken." I stuck my sunglasses on my nose. "Still," I said. "I sensed something today, a negative energy of sorts. It started as soon as I stepped out of the library." Cypress flipped on the AC, glancing over at me. "You didn't pick up on it when you were in the library, but once you were outside?"
"Right."
Cypress pursed her lips as she thought it over. "Well, it only makes sense that your brother would keep the library energetically clean." She pulled to the exit of the parking lot and stopped. "What were your first intuitive impressions? Did the energy feel sour? Was it negative or malevolent?" I tucked my hair behind my ears. It made my heart jump in my chest. "Whatever it is, it's gaining strength and rising."
"Rising?"
Cypress repeated. I frowned.
"Yeah, rising was the word that popped into my mind."
"Weird choice of words." Cypress tilted her head.
"Think you could follow the energetic trail?"
I nodded.
"Sure, I can follow it."
"I'll drive by the library building. Let's see what you pick up with your claircognizance." Cypress turned the car and drove slowly along the main campus drive. I shut my eyes and focused on my solar plexus and waited for that tugging sensation that would tell me I was close. Being a psychic intuitive, or more correctly, a claircognizant, had its advantages. What many non-magical folks would dismiss as a gut hunch is actually their intuition. It's a strong psychic ability,
and everyone has it to some degree. But many people choose to ignore it. As a witch, I not only accepted it, I put my psychic abilities to work. A few moments later, I felt my stomach roll over. "Got it," I said. Cypress slowed the car to a stop. "We're at the little intersection before the library." I opened my eyes. "Hang a right," I said. My stomach tightened even more as Cypress turned right and we cruised along. When we approached the campus building that housed the local history museum, my heart started to trip faster in my chest. "Isn't that the building Autumn works in?" Cypress asked. "Yeah, it is," I swallowed. "It's also where Julian Drake works." Had he fallen off the wagon and was practicing dark magic again? "Are you okay?" Cypress reached over and gave my hand a squeeze. I glanced over at her. I'd once had an up-close and personal encounter with Julian Drake, and even though he'd been on his best behavior for the past couple of years, I still didn't like him. "I'm fine. No worries." Cypress pulled into the lot and parked. "Let's get out and walk around." Her face was set, and her eyes were intense. We met at the front of the car and fell into step together. I glanced over at her and knew. "You're feeling it too, aren't you?" I asked. "Yeah, like my skin is crawling," Cypress whispered to me as we passed a group of students leaving the building. The energetic tug was stronger as we walked around the side of the museum. We followed the path through the museum's little garden, and even though the trees were lush and green and their leaves waved in the breeze, it was conspicuously cooler. I shuddered. "It's stronger over here." "But what's causing it?" Cypress said. I stopped, dead in my tracks. Adjacent to the history building, a large area had recently been fenced off. Bulldozers and trucks were all neatly lined up. "They must have started on the expansion of the museum. Autumn's been talking about this for months," I said, inspecting the beginnings of the project. Grass had been scraped off, and a stand of scraggly old trees had been removed. I actively wished for my camera. As we looked over the job site, there were other students also checking out the changes to the campus. Cypress nudged me. "Let's get closer." We stopped right in front of the fence. "Aw, they bulldozed all of the apple trees," she said, pointing. I frowned at the tangle of bulldozed trees. I could see a few apples still hanging on the fallen branches. "I loved those trees," I said. "They were so old and gnarly." "We've been snitching yellow apples from them for the past 2 years," Cypress sighed. "I'm going to miss that." I tipped my head up and checked the sky. We were facing west, and the setting sun painted the clouds in a rosy hue. "West," I murmured. Earlier, I had felt pulled towards the west. "You also said that whatever it was, that it was rising." Cypress curled her fingers through the tall cyclone fence as she considered it. The hair rose off the back of my neck. "I really want to talk to Autumn and see if she's noticed anything." I stepped back. "Let's go." Cypress nodded, and we silently walked back to the parking lot. So now I knew where it was coming from, but I still had no idea what it was. Cypress whipped her car across town to the manor. The tall wrought iron gates at the end of the manor's driveway swung closed behind us as we pulled in. She slammed her car door and came over to loop her arm through mine. "Let's go get dinner and see what we can find out." "Ready for a nice quiet evening with the bishops?" I teased, tucking my sunglasses on top of my head. I barely got the front door of the manor opened when my little nephew Morgan came barreling towards me in Cypress. "Aye!" he squealed, in his toddler-speak version of my name. I caught him before he overbalanced onto his face. "Hey, Morgan!" I swung him up to my hip and pressed a loud smacking kiss to his mouth. "Hi!" he shouted, all smiles. "Hi, cutie!" Cypress ran a hand over his bright red hair. "Sigh!" Morgan puckered up his lips in her direction. Laughing, Cypress obliged him, and I saw Bran standing in the foyer. "It's the funniest thing," he said.
Morgan started shouting your names about 5 minutes ago.
Cypress and I walked over to my brother. Really? I asked.
Yeah, he kept running around the manor like he was looking for the both of you.
Still dressed in his conservative dark suit and tie, Bran rubbed a hand across his chin. Maybe he saw us coming, I shrugged. Bran's eyes went sharp as he considered it.
Morgan's only 2 years old. He's a little young to be displaying any magical abilities.
Autumn popped in from the family room. Or maybe he takes after me and is a seer, she said. Morgan snuggled his head under my chin. My eye! He wrapped his little arms around me and sighed.
Say Ivy, Bran said to his son. Try and say it.
Morgan pulled back to look me square in the eye. His blue eyes twinkled. Ivy, he said slowly.
You got it, little dude.
I gave him a hug. Morgan squirmed and I set him down. He grinned up at his father and pointed.
Dude,
he said clearly.
Daddy,
Bran corrected, while I struggled not to laugh. Morgan pointed at Cypress.
Sigh,
he said clearly. He pointed at me.
Ivy.
He pronounced it carefully. He stopped and grinned over at Autumn.
Tum.
He laughed and ran out of the foyer towards the back of the house. I grinned over at my brother. Obviously, the child is a genius. There was a crash coming from the back of the house, and Bran cringed.
An evil genius, maybe.
He went to see what Morgan had gotten into.
Hello, girls.
Great Aunt Faye popped her head from around the kitchen and into the family room. I'll have dinner ready in 15 minutes.
Thanks,
I said. And she nodded and went back into the kitchen. Knowing my great aunt's preference to be left alone when she was cooking, I didn't offer to help. Autumn beckoned Cypress and I into the family room.
What really brings you girls by?
She dropped onto the big, oversized chair, tossing her shoulder-length hair behind her. I sat on the couch, propped up my feet on the coffee table, and sighed loudly.
Maybe we wanted some home cooking, I said.
Autumn raised an eyebrow at me. Our eyes, almost identical shades of green, locked. I felt a little pull from her mind.
Ivy,
she warned me in a soft voice. I fluttered my lashes. Perhaps I missed the love and comfort of my quiet little family. My dramatic comment had Cypress rolling her eyes, and as Bran chased a happily squealing Morgan through the foyer, she snorted out a laugh.
Don't bullshit me, Ivy, Autumn said. I've been having weird dreams about you for the past few days.
Did they involve Tom Hiddleston? I joked. When my cousin scowled at me, I shrugged. He's my newest movie star crush.
I'm serious, Autumn said.
I felt a much stronger tug on my mind. My temples throbbed from my cousin's psychic maneuver.
Hey!
I tossed up my hands in laughing surrender. I was going to tell you, you don't have to scan me. I laughed, rubbing my temples.
You know how I feel about lies and secrets, Autumn said.
Boy, what happened in the days when you weren't sure of your powers and hesitated in using them? I teased.
Nothing's wrong with being confident.
Autumn smirked at me. Cypress tucked her feet up and grinned at Autumn.
You're stronger now and happy being in a relationship with my Uncle Renee. You two are good for each other, and it shows.
Autumn's face lit up. Momentarily distracted, she leaned back and beamed at the two of us.
Renee is simply one of the best men I have ever known.
Bran walked into the room with a squirming Morgan in his arms.
Hey, what about me? No props for your big brother?
Autumn turned to him with a grin. Did you just use the word props in a sentence? Bran wrestled with a giggling Morgan.
I'm hip, I'll have you know.
I had a snarky comeback all ready for him, but before I could use it, my sister-in-law Lexi came home from work. Lexi let the front door shut with a slam and planted her hands on her hips.
Where's my men?
In her police uniform with her blonde hair pulled back in a neat bun, she seemed very happy to be home. She's had a really tough day. I suddenly knew. I frowned, imagining what a tough day might actually entail for a police officer.
Mommy!
Morgan squirmed down and ran to his mother. She scooped him up and pressed a loud kiss.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?